This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Every single night of Ramadan, Allah says this on the hadith that I free a neck from the punishment of the hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those individuals whose necks are delivered from the fire and saved from the punishment.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, continuing our journey with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for some of us maybe possibly to inspire us to begin our journey with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most powerful thing that can move an individual, that can move the heavens and the earth and move the mountains and move the oceans. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described inside the Quran that if all the trees were to be aqlam, to be pens, to be scribes, and all the bahar, all the oceans that we see was to be the ink, and we told them to command them to begin to write the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you find that the ink will run out. مَا نَفِدَتْ كَلِمَاتُ اللَّهِ. The speech or the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala don't come to an end. It is an ocean which has no depth. It has no ending. There's no shore to the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why you find the ulama tafaseed, that some of their works began to speak or give such titles to the works of Bahrul Muhit, the expansive ocean. And all these are predominantly based upon Imam Tabari, who's classified as Imamul Mufassirin in 30 volumes, depending on what print that you follow, trying to understand the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's all that we're trying to do. Take glimpses or take moments of trying to understand the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the one who understands the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or his words, or what could be the murad, what could be the intent of these words, finds that path of success, finds that proximity and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he's able to understand his words subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is a continuation of our journey, that this Quran, it continues in various formats and various concepts that it speaks about, which yatakarrar inside the Quran. Quran is repetitious in nature for a purpose, for that reminder, for that intent, for the benefit. That's when we travel through the stories inside the Quran, you find that they begin to have different wordings inside them. And some of the ulama mentioned these wordings, they change from time to time to awaken the individual, to make the person become more focused. And that's the themes of the parables inside the Quran, which we stopped upon the final so verses of Surah Al-Tahrim, the 66th chapter of the Quran. دَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُ مْرَأَةَ نُوحٍ وَمْرَأَةَ لُوتٍ, whereby Allah gives this parable of two prophets, whereby their wives, they disbelieved, and the two good women who believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a theme that reoccurs inside the Quran, the throwing of parables, giving these similitudes and examples and similes and metaphors inside the Quran. For what purpose? For the person to ponder and to reflect and to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to impact the individual. As Allah himself subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarakun liyadabbaru ayatihi wa liyatadhakkara ulul albab. Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarakun. We sent down a blessed book upon you. For what purpose? Liyadabbaru ayatihi. That you begin to ponder and reflect upon the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because extensive pondering, what does it lead to? It leads to this reflection of implementation inside one's life. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in the end of Surah Al-Imran, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِّأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. In the creation of heavens and the earth, the night and the day, are signs for men of understanding, al-lub, who al-aql, the intellect. That's a smart intellectual individual who possesses a PhD, who possesses this intellect of their mind. That what do they conclude? رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. This reflection leads them to do what? That you have not created this in vanity. There must be a purpose and intent for the heavens and the earth. And there's an intent for the heavens and the earth. There must be an intent for me. The intent for me upon this earth, فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Save me from the punishment of the hellfire. That's the intent of this dunya. That's what taqwa is. That's what siyam is, la'allakum tattaqoon, that you may save yourself, attain piety, save yourselves from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these ayat inside the end of Surah Al-Imran continues, concludes and mentions that what is this journey inside this dunya? فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازْ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Whoever is rescued, liberated, taken out of the hellfire, doesn't go towards the hellfire, and is thrown and plucked into paradise, فَقَدْ فَازَ. That person is the most successful individual. That's what true success is. That the end of your journey, the end of your life, the end of that journey, just like the end of Surah Tahrim that we mentioned, رَبَّنَا أَتْمِمْ لَنَا نُورَنَا وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا, complete our light. The end of the light of the believer is Jannah, is paradise. That's what all this struggle has been. That's what all this life has been. These 60, 70 odd years of our life, that's all it is. It's just a journey to get to the end. That's why Allah begins the Quran by highlighting, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَىٰ حِينٌ. You're only on this world for a short span of time. You're only here for a short span of time. That's why Allah begins the Quran by speaking about qissa to Adam, about Adam alayhi salam, expelling him from paradise and bringing him on this dunya, because we reside in this dunya. Allah begins by speaking about this dunya. إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ. I'm going to make upon this earth a viceroy, a vicegerent, a representative, a leader upon this earth, that you live here. But don't get full of this world. You're only here for a short span of time, just like Adam remained here. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَىٰ حِينٌ. And you're going to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the believer is always reflecting. Reflecting about this dunya, reflecting about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in how to find the end journey. How to find the end journey to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a hadith that you find, لِصَائِمِ فَرْحَتَانِ. For a fasting individual, there's two moments of rejoicing. Two moments of rejoicing. فَرْحَةٌ حِينَ يَفْطُرُ. The first moment of rejoicing inside this world is when you open your fast. That feeling of opening your fast with a fresh date or with a dry date or with some sips of water or whatever it may be. That farh, that happiness that a person finds inside their soul. Inside their soul they find that happiness. That's what this hadith is speaking about, the happiness. And the second happiness for the believer, حِينَ يَلْقَ رَبَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, is the day when the servant meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the second happiness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitate that for all of us, to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to see His sublime face subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what the Quran is. It's praising, speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Athana lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-majd lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The praise that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins His Quran, begins His speech by speaking about His book. All these ayat inside the Quran, all these surahs that begin inside the Quran, that begin with haruf al-muqatta'at, some 29 odd surahs inside the Quran that begin with alif, lam, mim, ha, mim, sad, qaf, noon. All these letters, what do they begin with? Sad wal Qur'an al-dhikr, qaf wal Qur'an al-majid. They begin by alif, la, mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ تَنْزِيلٌ مِّنْ حَكِيمٍ حَمِيدٍ. It's all speaking about the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is muqaddimat. This is an introduction to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what the ulama mentioned, that the whole conclusive introduction to who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Surah Al-Fatiha. These seven verses are recited on a daily basis. This is the introduction to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So that's why ulama like Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah highlight, if you understand Surah Al-Fatiha, you've understood. And then he condenses it even more. He says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. This one verse. That's why he wrote a whole treaty, a whole risala, a whole book just based upon one verse. You alone we worship and you alone we seek aid and assistance from. If you understand this verse inside your life, that's it. You've understood what Islam is. You've understood what your journey is. You've understood what the Quran is saying. The whole of Surah Al-An'am, the sixth chapter of the Quran, a whole surah of Tawheed, oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some 160 odd verses, whereby Allah then concludes, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Qul inna salati wa nusuki. Say my prayers, my sacrifice, my living and my dying. Lillahi rabbil alameen. It's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single thing that I do inside my life. Wa hatta an-nawm. Even sleep, drink, resting. If the person makes that right intention, makes that intention, I rest after Salatul Taraweeh. I rest just before Fajr. I rest during the daytime so I can get up and revitalize myself to stand in prayer, to preserve my fast, to preserve my qiyam, to preserve my reading the Quran. For kullu hadhi al-ibadat. All of this is worship. All of this is worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we shouldn't condense it. That's why Allah is praising those individuals who continuously remembering subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's throughout these surahs, Allah is speaking about Himself and reminding Himself about the magnitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside mentions about the Quran, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Twice inside the Quran, Allah mentioned this statement. And as we began with themes reoccur inside the Quran, even before this, Allah mentions that Surah Al-Qamar, the 54th chapter of the Quran, four times Allah mentions, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّدْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرِ. We made the Quran easy to learn, easy to understand. Not everything about the Quran is difficult. هَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرِ. Is there not one who reflects and ponders, thinks about that? This is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to leave this message to be hidden, to be difficult to decipher and to understand, hard to enter into the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the book of Allah easy. Set upon these people, al-ummiyun. Illiterate people they were, and they conquered the world. Illiterate people. Allah mentioned inside the Quran that we said amongst huwa alladhi ba'atha fil ummiyina rasulan minhum. He sent amongst the illiterate people a messenger from amongst their own self. And Himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spoke about this prophet, this Nabi, and Nabi al-Ummi, twice inside Surah Araf, that he's an illiterate prophet. That I'm a person who doesn't read and write. Ash-shahr indana, the month in front of us. He just made these isharat, 29 fingers or 30 fingers. That's all that this month is. That's why he said, sumu li ru'yatihi wa aftiru li ru'yatihi. Begin your fast by looking at the beginning of the crescent and break your fast, or conclude your month by looking, searching for the crescent. Simple people they were. Look at the ayat inside Surah Al-Baqarah. وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّ لَكُ الْخَيْتُ الْأَبْيَدُ مِنْ الْخَيْتُ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنْ الْفَجَرِ. Carry on eating and drinking until you make a distinction between the white thread and the black thread. Adi bin Hatim, one of the companions, he placed a white thread and a black thread underneath his pillow. And in the depths of the night, coming towards Fajr, he'd take out these two ropes, these two strings, and he'd look at them. And when he could make a distinction between a white thread and a black thread, he knew that's the beginning of Fajr time. Look at his simplicity. Allah then sent down min al-fajri. The white thread and the black thread we're referring to is the horizons of the heavens. It's the heavens. It's not this that you need to do, but it shows the simplicity of these companions, the beloved individuals around the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, who sacrificed their life and their time for us to enjoy Islam today. Just like people today are sacrificing their time and their life for us to enjoy our life today. That's why the Quran, for many of us, has become a book of history. Hadith has become an academia and study. That's why the Quran comes at moments. Quran comes at many moments in history, study history. It comes and revitalizes. What is the journey of the Quran? What is the struggle of people? What do these ayat inside the Quran mean? Those who are massacred, those who are killed, those who are harmed, those who are tortured, those who are oppressed, those who are seeking liberation. That's when the Quran lives once again. The Quran doesn't die. The Quran doesn't die. It lives again and again and again. Qarn and ba'da qarn will be the end of time. With the day of judgment, Allah will lift the Quran, will take away the Quran. Until then, the Quran comes to revitalize our iman, to awaken us. So that's when we come to Salatul Taraweeh. At least read about these ayat before we can see. As you said many times, why are these imam, why are they weeping? Why do you think these grown men are weeping on certain ayat of the Quran? Read the context. Read the syntax. Read the situation what's taking place. The battle of Badr is taking place. The enemies are coming. The hypocrites are there. There's difficulties, there's hardships, there's a struggle. That's what it's there. It's giving that liberation of the mind. It takes you from a journey of reading to a journey of living the Quran, to visualize the Quran. And then Allah places people around us in the world
who visualize the Quran, that gives us strength inside our iman, gives us that strength. Because let's make this crystal clear, paradise isn't written for scholars. That's what people think, that the journey of paradise is only for a specific type of people. You've understood the journey of the paradise, misunderstood the journey. Come in min al-nas, min al-fuqara, wal-du'afa, wal-masakeen. How many of the poor, destitute people are going to go centuries into paradise before many of us? Centuries they're going to go. When a man walked past the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, and you ask this question, if I only pray 5 times a day, I only pray 5 times a day, wala yazidu wala anqus, I don't go beyond that, I don't do less than that, will I go to paradise? He said, yes, you will go to paradise. When he walked away, the Prophet said to his comrades around him, this person, individual, in sadaqa dakhal al-jannah, if he remains truthful, he'll go to paradise. That's many of the awam, many of the masses of people who are on their journey to paradise. They just need to be fine-tuned inside their life. That this stigma, that this approach that we made inside our lives, that you have to quantify, qualify, make a certain person have a certain amount of knowledge of Allah, then you're on the right path to paradise. That's partially true. But you know, no individual knows what the ending's going to be. No individual at any moment inside their life can ever say that I am going to go to paradise. That's what companion said, that if everybody's gone to paradise, everyone's gone to paradise, me, Umar, Abu Bakr, Uthman, Ali, I'm going to think that one person who hasn't gone to paradise is myself. That's what I'm going to think. That's what we should be thinking. That am I going to be that last man standing? Am I going to be that last individual who never makes it to paradise? And the last individual who goes to paradise, read the hadith in such Sahih Muslim, the last man who goes to paradise, when he enters into paradise, he's going to be given tenfolds of whatever exists upon this earth. He'll say, ya Allah, are you making a mockery, a joke about me? Are you mocking me? Are you making a joke about me? That this is what you've given me? Allah doesn't mock with any individual. Allah doesn't joke with any individual. وَمَنْ أَسْتَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا وَمَنْ أَسْتَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Allah is truthful inside his speech. When he says, وَعَدَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, when he says, I promise the believers paradise, he grants them paradise. When Allah says, Asa, Asa inside the Quran doesn't mean perhaps, for those of you who study the Arabic language. In the Quran, Asa doesn't mean perhaps. It means Hatman, Laziman, Aqbi Lahum. It means definitely for these individuals, this is what's going to be given to them. Asa Rabbukum an yukaffir ankum sayyi'atikum. Perhaps your Lord will forgive your sins. La, definitely your Lord will forgive your sins. For those individuals who are on that journey, to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what the masses of these people are. That's what the masses of people fi Bilad al-Sham. Bilad al-Sham is a blessed land. It's a blessed land for Muslims. Blessed land for the prophets. Ardul Philistine at the moment is nothing but Jannah. It's paradise. When you see a 6-7-year-old girl who's reading the Quran, she's reading the Quran, she completes the khatma. Every 6 days she reads the Quran. Every 6 days she reads it, looking at, reads the Quran, reads the full Quran. The person interviewing asks her, why do you do this? She says, because I find peace and contentment when I read the Quran. She's 7-8 years old. She's not even at the age of puberty. She says, I find contentment when I see the ayat of Allah. I reflect upon them. I see what Allah is telling me. Allah is telling me this is going to happen. And Allah is also telling me there's going to be victory. There's going to be success. Allah is telling me that. And he said, "Indi sa'a litatadabbur wa tafakkur." I have an hour to ponder and to reflect. What do you ponder and reflect upon? An 8-year-old child. She says, I reflect upon the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I spend an hour thinking about that, about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we're grown men, grown individuals. How much do we think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How much do we ponder about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How much do we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's what we began with. No matter how much we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can't praise Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. But He wants to hear alhamd. He wants to hear praise. He wants to hear the praise of His servant praising Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants to hear people saying, La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. He wants to hear that call. He wants to hear the call of His servants. Wa kadhalika nunji al-mu'minin, I'll deliver the believers. So don't think your du'as are wasted. Don't think your prayers are wasted. Just like people may march in the tens of thousands, we should march to the prayer. march to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. March to hear the ta'meen, the ameen of the dua of the imams who are making this dua for these people. Because this is an ameen that's ringing around Arshur Rahman. That's ringing around the throne of Ar-Rahman. It's all being delivered to him. In a wisdom that belongs to him, that he holds it back for a reason. That maybe he wants to hear more people imploring and calling upon him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find that when Allah mentioned, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Or prior to Allah mentioned Surah An-Nisa, the first time Allah mentioned, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّيْلَ وَجَدُوا فِي اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Why don't they ponder over the Quran? If the Quran is from other than Allah, you'd find many discrepancies, many mistakes. That's why the Quran begins by saying, أَلِفْ لَا مِمْ ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. This is a book that contains no doubt. No book on the face of this earth begins with that. Only the Quran is an ishara, a challenge to all the world. There's no doubt inside the Quran. Then Allah says that the only people who are going to have that recognition, hudan lil muttaqin, guidance for the pious, people who try to traverse the path of piety will unlock the Quran. They will unlock the Quran. Their hearts will unlock in deciphering and understanding the Quran. And those who have doubts, and Allah mentions right in the beginning of the Quran, what's known as awwal ayat tahaddi fil Quran, the first ayah that challenges the whole of humanity. وَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّنْ مِثْلِهِ وَادْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَنْ تَفْعَلُوا فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. The first challenge inside the Quran, you have any doubt about that which we sent down upon our servant, bring one surah like unto it. And then Allah says, فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَنْ تَفْعَلُوا. You cannot do it, and you're never ever going to be able to do it. 1445 years have gone by. No one can't bring one harf, one letter, one word like the Quran. That's the challenge we deliver to humanity. This is the Quran speaking to humanity. This is the da'wah, the role that we should be doing inside humanity, delivering the message of the Quran. Then the second time Allah mentioned, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Inside Surah Muhammad, it contains many similes and parables as well inside there. Don't you reflect over the Quran. Am ala qulubin aqfalu, is there chains, shackles tied up upon your heart? That the Quran is not entering into your heart, into your mind. It's not penetrating your heart and your mind. It's not changing you. It's not changing your life. It's not changing your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's something definitely wrong with you. Because the Quraysh were moved by the Quran. The end of Surah An-Najm. أَفَمِنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ تَعْجَبُونَ. The whole of Quraysh went down in sajda. Except for one man, and some ulama tafsir that mentioned. That's the power of the Quran. It moved the whole of the Quraysh. It moved Abu Sufyan. It moved these people who were staunch enemies towards the Prophet ﷺ. But they used the Quran, إِنَّ لَهُ لَحَلَاوَى. The Quran has a sweetness. It has an embodiment of power and strength. When a person hears the Quran, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So some people, you find that their hearts have become harsh like a rock. That's amongst one of the first similes or parables inside Surah Al-Baqarah that we find. Surah Al-Baqarah itself, these 286 verses, some 7-8 odd direct parables it speaks about. And so many ayat, it mentioned ta'qilun, ya'qilun, yatadhakkarun, ulul albab. All is pondering and reflecting. Yatafakkarun is there inside Surah Al-Baqarah. So it's not just about rules and regulations, it's about pondering and reflecting. And amongst these first examples of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah mentions, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةً. Allah says that your hearts become hard and deadened, become totally closed, sealed. They become harsher than a rock. That's what Allah says, your heart becomes harder than a rock. And then the strange thing is, then Allah begins to speak about this parable, this method, about what a rock is. Because some of us may think that the rock is the most hardest substance. Allah mentions about the rock, Allah mentions, إِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنُ الْأَنْهَارِ. But you know, from among some rocks, you find water gushes out from it. Water flows from it, or gushes from it. وَإِنَّ مِنَ لَمَا يَشَقَّقُ. And from some of you find when you break them, you hit them, they split. And water also gushes out from them. يَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ الْمَاءِ. water also comes out from them. Then Allah mentions, وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَهْبِتُ مِنْ خَشَّةِ اللَّهِ. Rocks fear Allah. Meaning, don't let your heart become so hard, harder than a rock. Because a rock still fears Allah. That's why Allah mentions in the Quran that all these things, all these inanimate objects on the face of the earth, all of them, they praise Allah. But you don't understand how they praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the heart becomes deadened, وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ, is something for us to be worried about. And stones put together, they make a mountain. That's why you find that the Arab poet, he wrote the lines of poetry speaking about what taqwa, what consciousness is. And then he came to the words, لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ. Don't despise anything, any small action, مِنَ الصَّغِيرِ, any small action that you do, do not despise that. لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ الصَّغِيرَةً فَإِنَّ الْجِبَالَ مِنَ الْحَصَى. Don't despise any small action, because indeed mountains are made from small rocks, small pebbles, that together they become a mountain. That's why every single sin, a sin has a detrimental effect upon the heart of the individual, the mind of the individual. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the impact of the Quran, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. If we send that end of Surah Al-Hashr, the 59th chapter of the Quran, we send down this Quran on a mountain, it would turn it into powder, into dust. If this Quran came down on a mountain, turn it into dust, as we began with the power of the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are parables that we lay out for you, that you may begin to reflect. That's what ulama tafsir, they mentioned, don't let your heart become harder than a mountain. And that's what Allah mentions in Surah Al-Hadid, the 57th chapter of the Quran, Al-Hadid being the iron. That's why it's very strange. Allah places certain ayahs, certain surahs, certain locations, if a person reflects upon that. Allah says, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَأَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Has not a time come for the believing individuals that their hearts become subservient in a state of devotion and khushu لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, and that of the truth of the Quran which has been sent down upon them. وَلَا يَكُونُ كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. Don't become like the people of the book, rhetoric, academia, theology, dogma, speech. After some time, what happened? قَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Their hearts become hard, become deadened. Islam is spirituality. It's not academia that I know this and I know that. That's not what Islam is, as we began with. It's spirituality. If your heart begins to become deadened, it doesn't become revitalized, awakened with the Quran, with the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't drive you. That people say, oh, why are people being emotional about the Quran? That's what the Quran is. It is emotional. It begins with emotions. Abu Bakr Siddiq, is there any questioning about him being a man? He would weep so much on the Quran. The Prophet ﷺ commanded, only him and another companion, one occasion commanded Abu Bakr, Muru Abu Bakr, falyusalli bin nas. He said, I command Abu Bakr to lead the people in prayer, because the person who leads the people in the prayer, he's the leader of the people. That's the leader of the people. People who sit with the people are people of the Quran, who advise them according to the Quran. Don't advise them according to the dunya. Don't advise them, let 30,000 more people die. Then we'll try to intervene. People of the Quran intervene and say, look what the Quran says. Whoever kills one person, فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. Whoever kills one person has killed the whole of humanity. Whoever saves one man has saved the whole of humanity. We don't wait for 30,000 people to die and then say to begin, maybe we should try to do this, or maybe we should send aid, or maybe we should speak this, or maybe we should do that. Quran gives us courage. Quran gives us strength, gives us iman. Doesn't weaken us away, but because of our bond with the Quran, our relationship with the strength of the Quran is weakened. That's why in the hadith we mentioned, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَرْفَعُ أَقْوَامًا. This Quran will raise people. How does it raise people? Just by people reciting the Quran? That's one element. It's when you begin to أَفَلَا يَتَدَّبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ, ponder, reflect of the Quran. لِيَتَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِ, you implement the Quran. Success will come once again to this Muslim Ummah. They'll rise once again. سُنَّةَ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. This is the sunnah of Allah upon this earth. Read through the nations who hold fast to the Quran. In a hadith that we find, this Quran is hablullah, is a rope of Allah. One end is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other end is with mankind. Al hadith, sahih Shaykh Nasiruddin Al Albani rahmatullah alayh. Whoever holds fast to this rope, holds fast to the rope, will be dealt out the crookedness, will find the straight path. That's how simple it is. There's no hidden message that I need to do X, Y, and Z to find success. It's A, B, C. Begins with the Quran. That's success. Those are the people of the Quran. Those are people of success who hold fast to the Quran, who have that conviction and belief of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who don't let their hearts become deadened. And that's what the Prophet and he mentioned, that the most important element of the human being's spirituality is the heart. Ala inna fil jasadi mudgha. In the body is a heart, is a piece of flesh, a morsel. If that is pure and wholesome and complete, the whole of your body will be complete. If that becomes corrupt, everything else becomes corrupt about you. Ala hiya al-qalb. Indeed, that is the heart. And he pointed to his chest. That work upon your hearts. Rectify your hearts. The spiritual embodiment within ourselves. All this, I said many times, all this is just an external garb. All of this is just a display of Islam at the moment. Don't be deluded by people who dress like Muslims, who look like Muslims. That's just one small percentage of Islam. Not to say we shouldn't do it. It's one small percentage. Don't be deluded by the image. It's the inner core element. The inner core element within the personality, within the individual, that a person is always striving against that inside themselves. Is always fighting themselves, resonating with themselves to purify their heart. That's what Allah mentioned. That will purify the success of the heart. The person who finds success, purity of their heart, that is going to be success for that individual. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Who comes with a pure heart in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Allah mentions that Surah Al-Mutaffifin. Al-Mutaffifin means the people who cheat. وَيْلٌ لِلْمُتَفِّفِينَ. Because this is what we've done inside our lives. We become Muslims inside the masjid. We're all good Muslims. We go out the masjid. We cheat. We lie. We squander. We do haram things. I'm not in the masjid no more. That's not what Islam is. Islam isn't دَعْ لِلَّهِ مَا لِلَّهِ وَمَا لِقَيْسَرْ لِقَيْسَرْ. Give to what God belongs to God, to God what belongs to Caesar, to Caesar. We try to be Muslims wherever we are. That's how this surah begins with speaking about وَيْلٌ لِلْمُتَفِّفِينَ. They cheat people. They're cheating people in their weighing of their scale towards people. And that's why inside this surah Allah mentions كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Indeed, a ran, a rust, a steel, iron has come upon their heart. Because of what purpose? Because of sins that they commit. Every sin that we commit is a black dot on our heart. Every sin we commit is a black dot on our heart. If we repent, it's wiped away. If we don't, it remains. Another sin, another dot. Another sin, another dot. كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Person misses one Jum'ah, second Jum'ah, third Jum'ah. Allah seals that person's heart. It's not something trivial. We're not doing a formality. We're not doing a good thing that we're coming to Jum'ah. You're not doing us a service. You're not doing a masjid a service. You're not doing anyone a service. You're doing your own self a service. You're doing your own self a service. That I'm coming here. Allah's granted me the ability to come to the masjid. I'm not praying in a derelict road in Gaza at the moment. I'm not praying in one of those 144 odd masjid being destroyed. I'm praying in a comfortable environment. Why am I dragging my feet to come to the masjid? Why am I finding it difficult to come for Fajr? Why am I finding it difficult to come for Isha? Why am I coming here complaining about the imam is leading a long prayer inside Salatul Taraweeh? Salatul Taraweeh is a long qiyam. It's a long prayer, long ruku, long sujood. That's the essence of Taraweeh. You can come and control the imam and say, make it easy in Salatul Isha. Make it easy in Fajr. I have work, I have demands, I have needs. You have no right to say to the imam, hurry up in Salatul Taraweeh, I have work the following day. You follow the imam. You follow and you pray with the imam. As long as he stands, a person who begins their Salatul Taraweeh with the imam, concludes with the imam, is forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the beginning to the end, has prayed the all night. These are the virtues of standing behind the imam. These are the virtues of listening to the Quran, of revitalizing our iman and a commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's Allah mentioned that peace. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبٌ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. The only time you'll find peace inside your life won't be the pounds and the dollars and the world around you. Whatever you possess, it will never be that. There's always going to be a cavity and emptiness that many of the Muslim youth are running towards that. The richnesses of the world, the prized commodities of the world, being a celebrity, being known, being a YouTuber, having wealth, having property, having this, having women, having cars, having this image. Go and ask those people. It's vanity. It's empty. It's lost. Just small seconds of these people, when they hear the call of the prayer, when they enter into the masjid, they say that it all sinks away. All my life I search for peace. All my life I search for peace. And I only found it in one place. And my heart found it in one place. Ala bi dhikri lay tatma'innu al-qulub. I only found that peace inside my heart when I remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the greatest dhikr of Allah is the Quran. That's the greatest dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person hears those words, reflects upon those words, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ وَمَا يَعْقِلُوا إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ. That's a read through the Quran. Why don't they ponder, they reflect? You know, those individuals have an intellect. We all claim to be smart, intelligent individuals. And as I began with not to belittle anyone, that some of us, our journey may be in the journey of the Quran. Some of us to begin the journey. Some of us maybe can't even read the Quran. There's nothing to be ashamed about that. There's many great ulama, fuqaha, who at the end of their life, they memorized the Quran. Who at the end of their life, they reverted back to Allah. أَلَمْ يَعْدِنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبٌ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَرَ مِنْ الْحَقِّ. They say about Imam Al-Fudayl ibn Ayyad, one of the most profound scholars of spirituality. He was a highway robber. He was a thief. And we went to rob a house and you heard someone reading the Quran. This ayah was being read from Surah Al-Hadid. We mentioned, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنْ الْحَقِّ. Has not a time comes the believer, their heart becomes fearful. Begin to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's when he said, that's it. That's enough of my life. That's enough of my life of being a robber and a thief and doing this inside of my life. That's what the Quran should be. That's what a da'wah should be to the people. We shouldn't be pushing people away. This is a month of Ramadan. The month of blessings, the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the month where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the first day of Ramadan, all the doors of paradise are swung open. Futtihat abwabul jannah, bisigatil mubalagha, futtihat. They just swung open, pushed open, all open, doors of paradise. Doors of Jahannam are sealed. They're sealed. Only a wretched, a really bad, wicked individual has to break through those doors, bust through those doors, carry out so much haram to go into Jahannam. And Allah says this in the hadith that every single night, I free a neck from the punishment of the hellfire. Every single night. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those individuals, utaqa min an-nar, whose necks are delivered from the fire and saved from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned inside the Quran, in his introduction to parables inside the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا لِلنَّاسِ فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ فَأَبَى أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ إِلَّا كَفُورًا إِلَّا كُفُورًا. And he explained so many examples inside this Quran and laid out for people, for them to reflect and to ponder, except for those individuals who begin to become ungrateful and reject the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another place Allah mentioned, وَلَقَدْ صَرَفْنَا فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا. Many examples we give inside the Quran, and this is at a side point inside Surah Al-Kahf, the 18th chapter, with many parables are placed there. But most people are always arguing, always in a state of arguing with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or arguing, trying to find some excuse inside their life, is one interpretation that can be given. We have no excuses to try to read the Quran, ponder over the Quran, reflect over the Quran, and to exert ourselves to do whatever we can in this blessed month of Ramadan. Allah mentioned, throws these parables. وَلَقَدْ ضَرَبْنَا لِلنَّاسِ فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ. Indeed, we throw all forms of parables are given inside this Quran. وَلَقَدْ ضَرَبْنَا لِلنَّاسِ فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ مِنْ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. We give all these parables inside the Quran that you may begin to ponder and to reflect. Then Allah mentioned, prior to this mentions or after this mentions, Quran and Arabian, غَيْرَ ذِي عِوَجٍ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. This Quran has no crookedness. It's a straight book, an easy book. That you may follow this book, that you may become pious individuals. وَيَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالَ لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. Allah lays out these parables that you may begin to think and to reflect. Allah mentioned, كَذَلِكَ يَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالِ. Thus Allah gives these parables inside the Quran. Allah mentioned, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ ضُرِبَ مَثَلٌ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. Inside Surah Al-Hajj, as a call out to whole of mankind, listen to this parable I'm going to give, the parable of the fly that cannot benefit an individual as we're going to come to بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Then Allah mentioned the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah is not shy to give these parables inside the Quran, to give an example of a mosquito and whatever is beyond that or less than that. That these parables that ulama speak about are there inside the Quran for us to begin to reflect and to begin to ponder inside our lives and try to understand the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in conclusion, that we find, read about the amthal, the parables of the Quran given by the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, whereby he gave these parables. If you look at the Jami' Tirmidhi, Sunan Imam Tirmidhi, that we find there's a whole chapter, a whole book called Kitab al-Amthal, just giving different parables that the Prophet alayhi salam, he spoke about. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah collects all the amthal, the 40 plus amthal inside the Quran, collects it inside his work, Al-Amthal fil Quran al-Kareem. The Prophet alayhi salam, mentions about what is the parable of the Quran. مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِ الَّذِي يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ وَيَعْمَلُ بِهِ. The parable of the person who recites the Quran and acts upon the Quran, enacts upon the Quran. كَالْأُطْرُجَّ. It's like a citron, a citrus fruit, an orange, a lemon, a good fruit, a citrus fruit. You find رِيحُهَا طَيِّب وَطَعْمُهَا طَيِّب. A citrus fruit, an orange, it smells good and it tastes sweet and good as well. That's parable number one. Person who reads the Quran and implements the Quran, that's the believing individual. That the parable is given to the individual. Then a step down, the Prophet as he mentioned, وَمَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِ الَّذِي لَا يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ. The parable of the believer who doesn't read the Quran, doesn't have so much time to read the Quran, to study the Quran, but has moments inside their life, tries their best. There's a person reads the Quran and he stutters. Stutters in reading the Quran, فَلَهُ أَجْرًا. Will have two rewards. When that person who's stuttering reading the Quran, alif, lam, meem isn't 10 rewards. Alif is a reward. Lam is a reward. 10 rewards. Meem is a reward. 30 hasanat. 30 rewards. Hadith inside in the Sunan Imam Tirmidhi is given to an individual. That's the encouragement that the Prophet is giving to us. Not saying it's for a certain type of people. So the person who doesn't recite the Quran, doesn't have that much time. Kamathali tamar is like a date. A date, it has no reeh, it has no smell. But what does it have? It has a sweet taste. Because the person who tries their best with the Quran, to implement the Quran inside their life, there's goodness inside that individual. That's what the Quran is. Either a person is at a higher level or the second level. Then that Prophet ﷺ mentioned, وَمَثَلُ الْمُنَافِقِ أَلَّذِي يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ. The hypocrite who reads the Quran. The hypocrite who reads the Quran doesn't implement the Quran. كَمَثَلِ الْرَيْحَانَ. It's like a basil. This basil, this herb, it has a good, sweet smelling fragrance. هذا هو المنافق. Who looks good. Appearance is good. Who reads the Quran, but doesn't implement the Quran. But when you engage with a person, وطعمه مر. But his taste is bitter. His actions are bitter. His life is bitter. His practice is bitter. Then the fourth type of individual, the munafiq, who doesn't read the Quran. It becomes kalhamdala, a colocynth, like a cactus that grows inside the desert. It has a foul stench and has a foul taste. So we can all begin to decipher where we're in a spectrum regarding our relationship with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُقَالُوا لِصَاحِبِ الْقُرْآنِ اِقْرَأْ وَارْتَقِي. It'll be said to the person of the Quran, read and ascend. It's not just, as some of the ulama said, not just about a person who's memorized the Quran, as some of us that we think. Sahib al-Quran, person who's dedicated to the Quran. It'll be said to the individual, read and ascend. Iqra kama kunta turattil fi dunya, warattil kama kunta turattil fi dunya. Recite, warattil al-Quran tartila. Recite the Quran like you used to recite in this dunya. And indeed, wherever you stop reciting, will be your place inside paradise. Wherever you stop reciting will be your place inside paradise. So those who memorize the Quran, they're going to stop reciting at the end of the Quran. That's the end journey for those individuals. Inna Allah, inna lillahi ahleen. Allah has certain individuals who are close to minan nas. Qalu ya Rasulullah, man hum? They said, ya Allah, ya Messenger of Allah, who are these people who are close to Allah? Who are these people? هم أهل القرآن أهل الله وخاصته. They're the people of Allah. They're the people of Allah.
people of the Quran. Don't undermine your imams. Don't undermine the people who memorize the Quran. Don't belittle them. Don't look down upon them. Don't think they're trivial people. It's such an ultimate blessing for a person to have the chest. The chest contains the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's some narrations that mention that body that contains the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's memorized the Quran, that body will not enter into the fire, into the hellfire. That Quran will preserve them. And likewise in the hadith we find, this Quran, your siyam and the Quran intercedes for a person. It intercedes for us. The fasting intercedes because during the daytime, yatruk shahawatuhu wa ta'amuhu wa ladhatuhu, leaves his desires, his temptations, his food and his drink, leaves them during the daytime. So fasting will come and intercede. And the Quran will intercede. Because at night time you're reading the Quran, Fajr you're reading the Quran, you're listening to the Quran, following the Quran, it will come and intercede for the person that he gave, forsake his nights in devotion and commitment towards his book. So now I'm going to come and intercede for this individual. Inna hadha al-Quran yahdi lillahi aqwam wa yubashshiru al-mu'minina alladhina ya'maluna as-salihati annalahum ajran kabira. Inna hadha al-Quran yahdi lillati hiya aqwam. This Quran guides you that which is strong, which is firm. Why are we not strong and firm anymore? We don't need dinner talks, round table talks. 1445, 1445 years have gone by. There's the blueprint. Inna hadha al-Quran yahdi lillati hiya aqwamu. This Quran guides you that which is strong, which is powerful. It guides towards that. So we're not pondering over the Quran, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we mentioned, the Quran raises people and defames people. And finally, we find another famous hadith that's mentioned that Ibn Abbas narrates that a person came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, I saw a dream. And in that dream, I saw a cloud. And from that cloud, I saw butter and honey was flowing from the cloud. And there was a rope. And on that rope, I saw you, Ya Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I saw you, and you was ascending again to the top. And behind you, a first person came, a second person came, a third person came. When the fourth person came, the rope broke, then it was connected again. And again, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq is sitting there. He said, Ya Rasulullah, give me the right, give me the permission to talk about this dream, to explain this dream, to interpret this dream. He says, as for the cloud is the cloud of Islam. The honey and the butter that's dropping is the Quran. The sweetness of the Quran. Hadith inside Sahih Bukhari. And those people, whoever take more of the honey, more of the butter, the more purified, more good people that they've become in taking from that sweetness of the Quran. And that rope is the journey of Islam. And that's the Prophet who's leading us. And whoever follows the Quran, follows his teachings, follows the Quran, is coming behind him, is helping them ascend up to paradise. And a person falls short, then the Prophet drags that person, lifts that person up. So this is the Quran, the sweetness of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala place the sweetness of Quran upon not just the tips of our tongues, inside our mind, inside our hearts, inside our soul. Make it resonate within ourselves that we find this peace, this contentment, this halawa, this sweetness when we hear the Quran being recited or the Quran being played. It gives this peace and comfort within ourselves. Find those moments. Find it inside Salatul Taraweeh. Find it inside the prayer. Find it sitting home in Khalwa, just reading the Quran and pondering. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those individuals.